And it's my privilege to get to introduce our guest speaker this morning, who is also one of my favorite people. So Denver Daniel, as Tony said, Denver is one of my great friends, one of my great mentors, and he also happens to be the president of this organization called Open Door Christian Schools, which is pretty fantastic. You know, as we were worshiping, I had this flashback to one story that demonstrates the impact that Denver had on my life and on my ministry. When I was in high school, I had already felt called to the pastorate and maybe even to preach, but I was terrified. And I remember sitting in Denver's office and telling him, I just don't think I can do it. You know, I'm crying. I'm like, you know, weeping all over my notes that I've got there. And he sat me down and he encouraged me. He said, I don't care what you have to do, do it. And so I stood up here on this very platform and preached my first sermon ever at his encouragement. And his impact on my life has been so significant. That's one of the reasons I'm so excited to have him sharing the word with us today. But that impact continues in the lives of almost 800 students right now at Open Door Christian Schools, where I attended for 13 years. So I'm so thankful for the ministry that they have, for the future pastors and missionaries and servants of the Lord that they are training and ministering to and equipping. And Denver brings his love of Christ and his passion for the gospel to everything that he does. And so I'm so excited to hear the word that the Lord has laid on him for us this morning. So please join me in giving a warm welcome to Dr. Denver Daniel.
Love you, buddy. Good morning. So enjoyed the worship and so enjoyed the opportunity to be at Church of the Open Door this morning. And I'll take just a couple of brief moments to say, A, thanks for Clay for that warm introduction. I also thank Clay for choosing to hug me on the steps so he didn't show these highs difference as much. I'm certainly thankful and appreciative of that. But this is year 11. That the Lord has given me the opportunity to serve as president at Open Door Christian Schools. And the Lord is truly doing some incredible things. We just had our second year in a row of record-breaking enrollment. And so if you are interested in learning more about Open Door Christian Schools across our campuses today, just know that there are some tables at each campus, and there is somebody there to talk to you about a Christian education, what makes us distinct, what you can expect from us, and so forth. I'm going to spend just a moment and say that one of the things over those 11 years that I have heard more frequently than not is, we are interested, how can we afford it? Very real. And so I would also just encourage you today that there has never been a time where Christian education is more attainable for families than today. So as the founding church of Open Door Christian Schools, we have partnered together. We are a Kingdom Connections partner. And so that merits a scholarship for all of the members that have their children attending Open Door Christian Schools. And then also over the summer, the Ohio Department of Education released a tuition scholarship to every student in the state to attend private schools. So here today, you would be eligible up to, if you're a 9th through 12th student, up to an amount of $8,400. And then in K through 8, up to an amount of $6,200, right around that area. So we can help you out more with that. But just want to encourage you, there has never been a time that Christian education could be more attainable. And I will also share, if you want to see it in action, we have open house this Thursday. So we would love to see you attend. There's information at the tables as well about that. Here's what I'll wrap it up. As far as talking about the school, which I could talk about the school for a long time. And it's like, here's what I will just say. If you're interested in a place where Jesus matters, if you're interested in a place where your students matter, your children matter, if you're interested in a place where the Bible matters, if you're interested in a place where relationships matter, if you're interested in a place where that believes that the family and church matter, If you're interested in a place where relationships matter, and if you're interested in a place where excellence in education matters, we want to talk to you because we really do believe that there's a potential partnership there. And as I was being introduced and Clay was talking about his first message, it brought back some memories for me as I was preaching in chapel one day. And as I was preaching in chapel, I talk, as you've already learned, I talk with my hands. I also talk with my feet. I move a lot. All right. And so many times when I'm preaching, someone will tell me that the tech guys will ultimately tell, can you stay still? And I'm like, it's just hard. But on this particular day, I was preaching and I was getting excited and I was moving around a little bit. And my depth perception probably wasn't what it should have been. And I hit the step and realized there wasn't any a platform there. And so I hit the first step, but that was the last step that I hit on that day. And so I landed in front of the confidence monitor, just inches away from it, a little awkward experience. And then it was so funny to me that every student for the first 15 seconds were hushed, like, wow, this is awkward. Hope he's okay. And then when they realized yeah, I was okay, that's when all the laughter broke out. Of course, I mean, it was funny. And then right after that, I preached, and then there was this realization that hit me on that day as well. Not that I probably should stand still, which that probably would be good advice. But what also hit me is it's time for an eye exam. I needed to get a little bit of information together. And so about where my eyes were at that particular point that would cause me to miss a step completely. And so I went into my eye exam and they did something, showing of hands how many people have ever had eye exams. All right. So here's what happens at the eye exam. Anybody remember this one? One or two, three or four. And you go through that for about 5 minutes, and what the optometrist is doing is they're flipping. It's actually called a refraction eye exam, and they are flipping lenses upon lenses to get you to perfect or as close to perfect 20/20 eyesight. And what they are really trying to do is correct the error, the internal error of your eye, with an external prescription that will help you see correctly. And so they work their way through that. And today's passage also deals with flipping some understanding, flipping some things. And Jesus had came at this point of the passage we're going to be reading. Jesus had came and he was speaking to people, and the people that were most invested as disciples, Luke chapter 6, which is where we're going to be, Luke chapter 6, he begins by talking to them and sharing what are blessings, what are woes, and flipping their understanding completely on those things. He was really very much like an eye exam, trying to tune up to help them really see clearly. And so the wonderful thing I love about God's word that we're going to read momentarily is that how that it's been preserved. So just like the disciples who are sitting in what is referred to as the Sermon on the Plain, and they are soaking in what Jesus had shared with them, we get to do the same today. And so by the help of the Lord, those that are able and just in reverence and honor to his word, if you could stand with me, we're going to read Luke chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 20. And as we look at verse 20, we're going to see how Jesus challenged the disciples to see with clarity and greater depth than that what they had been seeing previously. And he says this, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. And then what we'll be focusing on this morning is Luke chapter 6, verse 21 and 25, the first parts of those verses where it says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Dear God, we pray today for the preaching of your word, that it would give you glory, that it would encourage the believer. And dear God, that today the one that is seeking the lost, that they would be found. We pledge to give you all glory and all honor and all praise, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. If you noticed in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 20, here's what you constantly saw Jesus trying to flip. Trying to get people to see past the immediate to something greater and deeper. It did that with, and especially you see that come alive in the hunger passage, or hunger blessing and then the hunger woe. Wanting to get them to examine some things. And the question that he really wanted to get them to examine is, what satisfies you and where does it come from? And by the help of the Lord this morning, that's what I'd love for us to focus on. I'd love for us to ask ourselves, where does our satisfaction, where does our contentment come from? Where is it most evident? How? Because when we start to really start chasing down where our satisfaction comes from, we can start actually looking at how that prioritizes our life, how it feeds our life, how it moves us in the pathway of life. Because what satisfies you shares a lot. And so Jesus, in this loving conversation that he's having with his disciples that have already said, I'm going to follow you, he is flipping their understanding and challenging them, let's get much deeper than even where you're thinking right now. Because when we recognize that satisfaction comes first from this meeting a desire or hunger, when we realize that we are content, or this sense of fullness, for a lack of a better way to say it, it's because that we've had a desire met, something that we long for, something that we're that pains us to receive, right? And so when we start seeing that our satisfaction comes from meeting a desire, it also comes from the hunger or a need, like this longing for something else. And again, these disciples, they had already cast away what was in their immediate peace. They had left nets. They had left different things. And now they're sitting around Jesus, and Jesus is saying, okay, I know that you've left this immediate fishing job that you have. I know that you've left being a tax collector. I know that you've left all of those things. Still, yet, there's more. And even on this morning, we've come and we've left certain things and we're here, and yet the Lord is yet ministering and reminding us there's more. There's this more. And he's reminding of that because he's getting into this, how desires are met, how we go chasing after the desires that we have reveals where we think satisfaction ultimately comes from. And I would, just as we learn today together, and as I preach, I would even ask that you do a little audit of your past week. What were the things upon which you found a satisfaction? What were the things upon which you built your life last week? Because Jesus is trying to encourage us to examine and say, are those things going to last? Are you hungry now? You're going to be, you can be full. If you're full now, you'll end up being hungry. He's trying to get us to this place. What is really going to satisfy you for the long run? And so satisfaction, it comes from meeting this desire or hunger, and it establishes our priorities and establishes where what we're chasing after. And so Jesus flipped this understanding of satisfaction. He wanted us to be looking at. He wanted the disciples on that day and us who are gathered here today to be looking at our sense of satisfaction. What we're really going to be chasing, Jesus wants to remind us, doesn't come from natural things. It comes from spiritual things. It comes from something that transcends a time. And he starts looking as like, are you truly building a life that is about what you can have in the immediate here and now, or even the future here and now, just meaning the life that you're living here on this planet? Jesus looked at everybody in this message and took and flipped the understanding, and he said, hey, if you're really wanting to be satisfied, you're going to have to go from the natural to the spiritual. You're going to have to be looking at things a little bit deeper. And so he did so that he could provide clarity. Just like the optometrist flips to provide clarity, he did so to provide depth. He wanted us to see what really brings satisfaction to the soul that transcends age, the soul that transcends wealth, the soul that transcends all other nouns in life, people, places, things. What really is going to satisfy you and me? And so he used the natural to start pouring into the spiritual, to start speaking to the heart. And so he used something that's common to us all. Matter of fact, there may be some people listening today that's battling it right now, seeing that we're getting close to lunchtime. He used hunger. And so he wanted to start off in talking about how that hunger, if you're hungry now, you can be full. And so he starts using something that's very healthy. Sometimes we want to treat hunger as it's not healthy, but hunger actually is a very healthy thing. Moms that are hearing today, they can attest to those cries of a baby that lets you know that they are hungry. They're different from other cries. The actions or the behaviors of that baby to let them know that you're hungry, that's a good thing. I'm thankful that I'm reminded that I should eat. Right? You are too. Hunger helps us. We have this internal thing that lets us know when it's time to eat. That is healthy. Hunger is healthy because it reveals a need. We know, it doesn't take a biologist to tell us that we know that in order to live healthy lives, we have to nourish the body, and our bodies are hardwired to let us know when it's necessary that we eat. It also reveals a dependence. I know that when I'm hungry, I cannot satisfy myself internally. I look to the cabinet, not to the mirror, when I'm hungry. I want something to feed myself. And so it reveals a dependence. There's nothing internally, and then it just science would reveal this is true. Like the last thing that you want to do is have the body trying to feed itself. You need something on the outside that's healthy to pour into the body so that it becomes that it can continue being healthy. And so it reveals this dependence, that this internal hunger pain is not going to be met by something internal. It has to be met external. And Jesus knew that when he was teaching the disciples, and he knew what he was trying to share. He was trying to get them to a place as they were looking at their life that they would recognize, you're not going to be full. You're not going to be content by trying to feed yourself internally. You need something different. Now, so something different in crossing over to the spiritual, and something that makes us as humankind, makes us unique, is found in Ecclesiastes 3:11. Just like our physical bodies give signals that it's time to eat, God has also hardwired us as well to know that there's something, a longing that's not going to be satisfied by the natural. Look at what Ecclesiastes 3:11 shares. It says, "He's made everything beautiful in its time," talking about the Lord. "Also, he has put eternity into man's heart." So I want to just pause there for a minute. That means that God has placed this thing in us that causes us to search for something that's greater than the here and now. He's put eternity in there. And it forces us to look at what happens after I die. It forces us to look at things more than just the immediate, right in the moment, or what I can see, what I can taste, what I can touch. He's trying to get us to think with a clarity and deeper, and he puts this eternal desire in us. Just like we have the hunger pain, we also have this spiritual desire that's born out because he's put eternity in our hearts. And then, so it reveals this need, this longing. It also reveals something else. Right after that, it says, so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So not only does he put eternity in our hearts, this quest for there has to be something more. He also puts this realization that we can't figure it out on our own. I can't figure this out. I can't figure out what happens after I die. I can't figure out how to solve the eternal longing. I don't have the ability or the gifts, or I'm finite. I'll never be able to figure that out. And so it also reveals our dependence on something other than ourselves. We can't figure out eternity on our own. Where Ecclesiastes shares that, what it really is sharing and what Jesus is trying to minister to is that when we talk about the spiritual need, blessed are you that are hungry now, that's somebody recognizing I'm in deficit. I'm in deficit because of what Scripture declares, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's not just some kind of theological position. That's me. I have the sin. And you say, what is sin? It's the separation. It's this breach between you and the Lord. And when sin, the condition of sin, here's what the breach causes. It causes the separation between you and God. It causes the separation between the way that you see yourself. You either think too highly of yourself or too low of yourself. Sin separates the way that we can get along with one another. And sin also separates how God wants us to steward his creation. This sin has contaminated and messed up all of us. That's why Paul in Romans says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This need. And then here's the other one, this dependence. Like, we can't find the solution on our own. In and of ourselves, we are too contaminated. We are too messed up to be able to figure out the solution to the eternity that's been placed in our hearts. And if to make matters worse, Romans then goes on to say that the wages of sin, what we actually deserve, is death. And not just focusing on the here and now, but focusing on eternity, the separation is final in and of ourselves. So what kind of state, what kind of place here? This hunger is healthy. We recognize how hungry we are, and we recognize we can't figure it out on our own. We need something else. But here is the blessing. The blessing is that hunger is meant to be satisfied. I have this spiritual pain of hunger to understand, to have this eternal bridge connected, and I can't do it. But the Lord is talking to them, and he says, hey, blessed are you that are hungry now, for you can be satisfied. You can be full. And the challenge is that we do it in the right manner. We establish rhythms in our lives, and the rhythms do not start with me first, that I'm going to figure out the way to do it on my own. And we do it with the right things. After we have done it in the right manner and we have entered in, and more in that in a moment, we do it in, with the right things. We create the healthy rhythms that keep us connected to the person that wants to connect us to eternal contentment and satisfaction in him. We have this challenge. Hunger is meant to be satisfied, but we have to take inventory in our lives to make sure that we are not trying to satisfy this hunger with earthly things. And if I could just be even more clear, natural things. The pause point for today and why we gather in, and one of the beautiful things about church is we can remind ourselves that there's something far more than just the here and now. And we need to be reminded that natural things, even if they're good, they're never going to satisfy spiritual hunger. And so that's where Jesus says to the disciples, what are the people that are thinking that they're full? That everything is okay, right? And because they will ultimately be hungry. But blessed are the ones that realize that they're hungry now, that there is this need that they can't fill, that they have to go outside of themselves to fill. And so natural things can never satisfy spiritual hunger. And just 1 Corinthians speaks to this as well. Apostle Paul says, the natural person, he does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. We can't, as natural beings, and this is one of the blessings that I would encourage us, just in and of ourselves, we are incapable of even comprehending this. It says, for they are folly to them. It's just foolishness. Let's just focus on the here and now. Let's just build the bank account. Let's just build great families. Let's just have a ton of fun. And not that those endeavors are wrong, but they are wrong when they are not prioritized where Jesus comes first. And it says, and so he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And here's what I would just encourage you today. This is saying that unless the spiritual, unless we're enlightened spiritually, unless the Lord ministers to our heart, that there's got to be more to our life, we're just going to chase after the things that satisfy us in the short term and the somewhat long term. But if you're here this morning and the Lord has been gnawing at your life and kind of just churning this message that there's more, that's because he's trying to minister to you and remind you that these natural things are not going to satisfy. And then the question becomes, what does then? How do I get this spiritual longing? All my week, I've been thinking about this. I've been up at night. Denver, what do I need to do? And the blessing is, what he says is that the hungry soul shall be full. And it's full in the person of Jesus Christ. What drew them in to be sitting around the circle was something that they were attracted to a little bit previous to that, where Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, he stands up in the synagogue. All kinds of these people were used to seeing Jesus as a child growing to a man, but now Jesus, beginning his earthly ministry, he's going to declare something far greater than that. And he declares, it pulls from an Old Testament passage, and it's something that should encourage our souls, our longing souls, about how that we can, our satisfaction can be met. Because he stands up, he reads, and he's talking about this, the fulfillment of this passage, not just something afar off. He's like, fulfilled right here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Not just the poor financially or the way that we attribute poor, but he was talking about the ones that were poor spiritually, the ones that recognized that they were in deficit. He's like, I've got good news for you if you recognize yourself as in need and needing to be dependent upon something other than yourself. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the one that it just feels bound up because they don't see any hope in and of themselves, and they've tried all the bells and the whistles of the world, and they recognize it's empty, and they feel completely captive by it. and their sin, they recognize that that too has bound them up. Here's Jesus saying, he sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind. No more deceived by what the world would throw at you as what's going to provide contentment. You recognize as Solomon read, that it's all vanity. It doesn't satisfy what ultimately needs to satisfy. And then to set at liberty, to give freedom those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is another way of saying to proclaim the era of salvation, that there is this era that is brought out, that if you recognize that you're hungry, if you recognize you're empty, if you recognize you're without, I have good news, and this is what he's proclaiming, and this was about as close, I feel, as a mic drop moment that you're going to see. In New Testament times, because he laid this out, and you said, okay, what does all that mean? It means this, that when Jesus declared that, what he was saying to you, what he was saying to me, is that I am the way and the truth and the life. And thank God, if you are feeling empty and desolate and blinded by, I have good news that there is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will satisfy the longing soul. That's what Jesus did. And I would say to the one that is yet to accept that gift that's been given to us, that today is a wonderful day to do so. And I would also say to the one that has accepted that gift, that it is a wonderful time to remind ourselves that it wasn't by our works, it wasn't by any of those things. It was by Jesus Christ and the beautiful gift of salvation that we now are able to live victoriously, not under the bondage of oppression of sin, but because of the righteousness of God, we can live victoriously through him. It's Jesus. And he's standing there and saying, I can satisfy you. If you're hungry, I can satisfy you. But just like the world, just like how we try and change and deceive ourselves, we can create suppressants. So here's in my high intense research, I'm being a little sarcastic when I say that, I decided to Google. And when I Googled a question, how do you eliminate hunger? And in a third of a second, 244 million pieces of information were available to me that showed me how to eliminate hunger or appetite. Now, I want you to think about that. That means that it's such a big deal in the world that there are 244 million pieces of information that were accessible to me in less than a third of a second. So that means that eliminating hunger is a big deal. Now, here's the good news. The good news is most of those said, if you want to eliminate hunger, eat something, all right? And then it would go on to challenge you, make sure you're eating the right thing. And if I could encourage all of us, hunger is intended to be satisfied. And so the way to suppress that hunger is to eat something good. Eat what has been offered to us as the only solution. But look at these things that get in the way of that. The first one is a way that we suppress hunger is we delay. Willpower. We start believing this illusion of self-sufficiency, that if I just do this, if I just build this resume, that's where contentment is going to come from. Or another one, I'm just going to distract. I'm going to go to the junk food. Instead of eating healthy, I'm going to just gorge. And as far as spiritually, it's when we're filling ourselves with a lot of ugly things to try and solve that eternal longing and that we have. Or we dilute. we're just going to put get a little bit of Jesus just to settle a little appetite, and then we're going to go back to doing the things that we want to do, Numbers 1 and 2. And the other thing, and we need to be aware of this, it's not written there, but it would be number 4, many times we're deceived. Or we're deceiving, trying to deceive ourselves, trick ourselves. And we have to be careful that we don't do that. And there's a lot of evidence and research about the people that offer us junk food, junk food industry. They actually try and look for ways to connect cravings to us. These cravings are this unhealthy longings. And we need to be aware that we are constantly bombarded with all kinds of ugly, unhealthy things to keep us from really, truly finding the true solution for the eternal hunger in our life, which is a relationship and walk with Jesus Christ. So be a good time just to look at the screen and kind of reflect and say, you know, has that been how I'm living my life? And then come up with the realization that this is not going to satisfy you. And that's why Jesus offers the woe. Jesus wasn't on a power trip when he told his disciples this. He was already King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knew who he was. He was looking at them and knew what he wanted them to be for their joy and for their life. And he says, woe to anybody. And just look at the significance of that. Look at the significance. And that's one of the things I'm always, as the president of a Christian school that has the opportunity to proclaim the gospel a lot. And then the opportunity when I pray, one of the things that I'm always heavy on my heart is, Lord, not that we would just have an understanding of what sin is, but we would also have an understanding of its consequences. What happens when we don't have the longing of our soul met with the right things? And so Christ says, whoa, this isn't intended to be. And he does it in such a way, and he's like, look at what woe means. It's an exclamation of pain, discomfort, unhappiness, not just something to walk over like, wish it would have been better. No, this is real and significant and deep. And the woe is when we believe that temporal pleasures, even if they are some good things, are going to result in satisfying an eternal need. It never will. And then the woe and the significance would be imagining that you would be hungry forever. You don't have the relationship with Christ, and that longing would be there forever. And so Christ is telling his disciples and the others that were listening in on the plane that day, woe to that person. And then he was also, though, sharing a blessing. Happy, I love this one, fortunate. We call that grace. That grace has been extended to us that if you are hungry, you can be filled. You can have an eternal need met with an eternal solution. And the eternal solution is an eternal Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it says our eternal need is satisfied through a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You will not fill that need any other way. The other ways will simply be mass that will lead to the consequence of being forever hungry. But then I'm reminded of the beauty of this passage where in Luke chapter 6, he says this and it's just simply beautiful. And you see it all the way through the Beatitudes that he lays out. He says, are you hungry now? If you're hungry now, you can have the need filled now. One of the things I love about Church of the Open Door and one of the things I love about the people in it is that I know that there are people here that are far more serious about your relationship with Christ and having that need met than whatever is on their schedules in the remaining of the afternoon. So if you are here and you recognize that you are hungry now, I want you to recognize that he also satisfies the longing soul. And you don't have to wait for that. You can commit and become a new creation in Christ Jesus now. Because those that are hungry now, they can be filled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an awesome, good Savior. I thank you today that you do indeed provide the longing soul the satisfaction that it needs. And I do thank you today that when we are hungry, we can be full. And today I pray that if there is anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ, they do not know you and the precious gift of salvation, Lord, that we wouldn't run past that, that we would recognize that the only way for contentment in life is going to come through a relationship with him and the life that he will victoriously lead us through. Lord, we ask all these things, not because of anything that we have done, but because of the price that you paid for us on Calvary, the victory that came through your resurrection, and the invitation that you're making intercession for us right now. We ask all these things in your precious name.